And a report has found pesticide residue on fruit and vegetables grown in Western Australia is more than 10 times the national average. I've put a link to that story on our WA Country Hour Facebook page so you can have a read through that news story and leave any comments or reaction to the fact that that's the situation in WA on our Facebook page. Or you can text 0448 922 604. The WA Department of Health conducts tests on local meat, fish, fruit, vegetables and grains every 2 years. An Auditor General report has found residues exceeded acceptable levels on 11% of local produce tested. Jim Dodds is Director Environmental Health at the WA Health Department and joins us now. Jim, did these results surprise you at all?
No. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to the report and explain the how it's been put together. So, look, we're part of that National Residue Survey, so the true statement is that Western Australian foods do meet the less than 1%, the same as the rest of Australia. We're part of that National Residue Survey. But some time ago, the Western Australian government looked at the issue of residues in foods, both imported and locally grown, and we decided we would do some additional work on top of the national work to help our industries get a better handle, and that's particularly useful when we're exporting as well, because sometimes these residues are more about quality than safety.
And so why didn't the results surprise you?
We've been monitoring this for a while, and the survey that is done nationally is of a market basket where they buy a small number of things. As the report says, ours is a targeted and planned survey where we target high-risk foods where pesticides of a particular type are used. And we've gone in and sampled a totally different group of foods that we knew would have a higher risk of having pesticides on them. So it's a totally different group, and it was targeted into high risk so we could help agricultural businesses to get the better use of their pesticides on their farm.
I understand. All right. Well, can you talk us through then the main findings of this report?
Look, the main findings are firstly for us in relation to our Schedule 7 pesticides, which is the group of pesticides used such as 1080 and strychnine and that. And it's not about their use, it's about how we screen the people who are allowed to sell those, that we need to interpret what a fit and proper person is, and we need to define better what a fit and proper person is. So we've agreed with that, and we're going to work towards having a definition of how we interpret their skills and qualification documented so people can work out whether they are or are not before they even apply. And we'll do that by September. The second group are in relation to the Department of Agriculture, and I really can't talk to that. I haven't had a chance to talk to their staff about it, although my staff have obviously talked to them considerably about that, and we'll work with them to resolve those. And then the last group is about the Pesticides Advisory Committee, a group that we have here, and we formed back in about 2001 or somewhere around that time, which was deliberately formed to create coordination across the agencies who play in this space. Agriculture at that time was Department of Environment because they had National Parks and Wildlife in them. And we try and talk across and get efforts working. And they're just saying we could do better in that space, that we could better formalise the process and use that process just a little bit better to identify the gaps in the legislation, which is where we tried to set it up originally because we own the only or administer the only legislation. So they want us to try and identify those gaps a bit better, and we think that's a fair comment. We'd like to work better at that and then target our efforts at those risks where they're identified.
Can you run through which were the high-risk fruit and vegetables that you did put under the spotlight in this report?
I haven't got them on me, and they do vary from year to year. So we would target, depending on how industry was what industry was growing in WA or what was being imported, and the chemicals that were used at that time, we would vary our scope of our survey and the types of chemicals we screened for. So they would vary over time.
On our WA Country Hour Facebook page, Deanne has said in response to this particular story, and this is why I grow as many of my own fruit and vegetables as I can. Does that reaction surprise you after hearing the results of this report?
Now, look, we acknowledge that there are people out there who want to avoid pesticides and things altogether, and we have the organic food people and people like that, and that's an important part of industry and people's sort of own ethical choices and their own desires in life, and that's part of the broad mix of people who eat and grow our Australian fruit and vegetables. But the the safety numbers that they are talking about are not an immediate public health safety number. A maximum residue number is more about indicating that this industry might not be using chemicals as wisely or as well as they could, and we need to get agriculture or the industry group to go and work with them and talk about it. It's not immediately a risk number, but it shows that something's not in the normal parameters that we would expect. So we want to go back in and investigate before it does become an issue, either for public health or might impact the ability of that or that particular industry to trade into another nation. So it's, sometimes it's about facilitating trade more so than just straight out public health. But our obvious remit is firstly public health. If we saw a number that exceeded way above that into our public health risk number, we would be straight out and be responding immediately.
Well, what's being done to manage inappropriate pesticide use in this state then?
Look, a really good example is recently we had some market gardeners right on the fringe of the urban expansion of Perth who were using soil fumigants, and we were having some problems with that. They weren't exceeding the MRLs at the time, but they were having problems with the way they managed those. We worked with them. They were actually a particular ethnic group as well, so we had to get materials translated into their language and work with them in that. So we actually worked through, and we've got that system right the way back under control. Now there's more work to do. So when we see an issue, we work with them and try and find out why it is they're needing to use that chemical in that way, and try and identify if there's another way the work can be done or if there's another way they can control the pest that they're trying to control.
How difficult is it to keep an eye on or investigate overspraying in this state?
Look, it's not easy. We do it based on the work of our staff here in the Department of Health. Local government environmental health officers help us a heck of a lot in the rural areas. If we get a complaint, they might do the initial investigation. And Department of Agricultural staff. But yeah, look, it is difficult. We monitor in systems like this and we follow through. And other triggers would be complaints where people have complained that they've seen something going on. So we have this type of surveillance, but also reliance on complaints.
Jim Dodds, a text has come through just asking about grain chemical residue issues. I mean, you're not looking at that by the going through the detail of this report. You're looking at meat, the fish, fruit, vegetables. Is grains going the residues in grains as well? Because this text is saying, why aren't the specific issues being relayed to growers, perhaps with a central accessible database, for example?
That's a really good point, and that is one of the further recommendations actually in the report, but not as a finding here. The Auditor General has suggested that we should make our results more publicly available and get them up onto websites and the like, and we agree with that, and we're going to work towards trying to make that happen. In relation to the grain specifically, I'm not sure of what the risk assessment was that decided whether we would do them or not, but I think it's a fair point, and I'll raise it to my staff as to why not, but it's probably one of the things is about we try to get foods that are eaten in the form that we sample them at, rather than foods that might go into a processing stream and may have maybe deconstructed or washed and significantly changed in form before they're consumed, and often grains fall into that category.
And do you think, just finally, is it a case of some of these labels being misread, or are farmers overspraying due to the lack of results they're seeing?
I honestly couldn't comment on that generically, but on occasions it's because people don't understand a change, that's for sure. Sometimes a chemical has been taken out and a new chemical's been brought in, and they haven't always understood the difference with the new chemical. But there are the odd occasions too. I mean, everyone does things their own way, I suppose, and there have been occasions where we've found people have applied it extra, and when we have actually found that, we've taken regulatory action. So, but that's not a common finding, and it's not a normal finding. Generally, it's just a misunderstanding. And sometimes the exceedance is just a change in practice, and it's normal and it's still within safe practices.
Jim Dodds, it's been great to have you on the program today. Thanks for being part of it.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
That's Jim Dodds.